Faithfulness is the fruit of the Spirit. I start out this morning by reminding you of a headline of a major supermarket tabloid that proclaimed it wouldn't last. The paper was celebrating the first wedding anniversary of a very well-known couple whose marriage many had predicted would not last. The tabloid was gleefully proclaiming that their predictions were all wrong and that the marriage was healthy and strong. Who are they talking about? Who was this famous couple? It was Michael Jackson and Lisa Marie Presley, whose marriage ended soon afterwards. Now, not only was the tabloid absolutely wrong about the state of their marriage, but it also reveals the weakness of modern society in suggesting that if a marriage lasts 1 year, it has really lasted. Hallmark has a card that fits the mood of our times by saying this: I can't promise you forever, but I can promise you today. This is about as deep as a commitment that some are willing to make. A few weeks ago, I quoted a statistic that over half of the marriages end up in divorce today. But in contrast to that, God exhibits and honors faithfulness. Psalm 100 verse 5 says this: For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So let me say this. Every time you see a rainbow, remember that God is faithful. Every time you see a rainbow, remember that God keeps his promise. Every time you pick up a Bible, remember he said in Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Every time you gather to worship, remember that he said, for where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Every time you partake of communion, every time someone answers the invitation, remember that he said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. And when you stand on the brink of death, remember his promise in John 14, verses 2 through 4, where it says, My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. So the summary is this. The songwriter was right. Great is thy faithfulness. So this morning, I can make a proclamation. I can proclaim to you this morning that our God is a faithful God, that his faithfulness continues through all generations. If we allow his Spirit to work within us, then the fruit of faithfulness will be real and evident in our lives. The more we yield to his guidance, the less fickle, the less vulnerable to discouragement and temptation we will become. And as we are filled with his Spirit, others will find in us a reliability, a trustworthiness, a staying power through both good and bad, a faithfulness that the world does not understand. So I ask you this morning, what's the definition of faithfulness? Now we can go to the dictionary. And in the dictionary, it says this, and I point this out to make sure that we're talking about the same thing. If you were going to define faithfulness as Paul uses it in the New Testament, how would you do it? Well, if you looked in the dictionary, you would find a technical definition that says this: to follow through with a commitment regardless of difficulty. And I say to you this morning that that is a really, really good definition of faithfulness. But let me give you one that may be easier to remember. Faithfulness is love hanging on. It is love saying, I will not quit. There may be misunderstandings, there may be disappointments, and there may be discouragements, but I will not quit. It is love hanging on. If a husband says, I really love my wife, then he goes out and has an affair, you may call him a liar. You may call him a cheat. But most of all, you will say he is unfaithful. Because that is what he's been. No matter how strong his argument may be, no matter how loudly he proclaims his love for his wife, you will not believe him because his unfaithfulness negates his proclamation of love. If someone says, you know, I really love the Lord, or I really love Carlisle Church, and then is unfaithful, then it's hard to believe that he really does love the Lord. It's hard to believe that Carlisle Church really is what this person says it is. Because you see, faithfulness and love always goes hand in hand. Faithfulness is love hanging on. You may get discouraged. You may be disappointed. But faithfulness says this: even though there is discouragement and disappointment, I will not let go. I will not quit. I will keep on attending and giving and serving because God has called me to be faithful. Listen to what the Bible says. Here are some of the scriptures that challenges us to be faithful. I'm going to go through these in just a summary of what the Bible says, but you'll find an insert in the bulletin that lists the scriptures I'm going to make reference to, and I encourage you when you get some time and through your devotions to reference these scriptures and read exactly word for word what God says about it. But in summary, in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2, it challenges us to be faithful in stewardship. Ephesians 6 talks about being faithful in service. 1 Timothy 5 speaks of being faithful in our marriages. Revelations 2 speaks about being faithful in witnessing. Romans 12 says we are to be faithful in prayer. Colossians 1 speaks of being faithful in ministry. Revelation 17 says we are to be faithful in following the Lord. Proverbs 31 speaks of faithful instructions. 3 John says we are to be faithful in the truth. Revelation 13 says of faithfulness even in times of persecution. Revelation 2 says we are to be faithful unto death, and then we will receive the crown of life. Now that's a lot of references to just being faithful. And I'm sure if I continued our study, there would be far more than what I've just referenced here this morning. But I'm trying to make a point on how important it is for followers of Christ to remember Jesus' faithfulness and God's faithfulness, and to take that as an example and apply our life on the same level that Jesus did. One of the hot box office attractions a few years ago was a movie called Bridges Over Madison County. It was advertised as the world's greatest love story. Now, I didn't see the movie, but I did look it up and found the and read the reviews of it. And it starred Clint Eastwood as a traveling photographer and Meryl Streep as a housewife. They met and began having a sordid affair. Then after 4 days, they ended it and went their separate ways. Hollywood called this the world's greatest love story. 4 days. You see, the world really doesn't understand faithfulness. It doesn't even have a clue as to what Paul was talking about when he says the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. To help us better understand it, let's look at a demonstration of faithfulness in the Bible. The example is Jesus. And it is found in the 16th chapter of Matthew. And it tells us that Jesus brings his disciples together and tells them that he's going to Jerusalem. He tells them, I know what will happen there, and I'm going anyway. And when I get there, I will be arrested and beaten and crucified. But I'm still going. Jesus was being faithful to his Father. You may remember that in the next verse, Peter tries to stop him. And Peter says, Lord, don't go. But Jesus says, get this. Get thee behind me, Satan. Why would Jesus refer to Satan? Now here's the reason. Because Satan was using Peter to try to get Jesus to quit and to be unfaithful. Again and again, throughout the ministry, Satan tried to tempt Jesus to be unfaithful. Satan is saying, don't go to church or don't go to the cross. Don't die for their sins. Just quit. It's going to be too tough. There will be too many obstacles, too many difficulties. Just turn around and quit. But Jesus tells us, or Scripture tells us, that Jesus set his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem. Because of his faithfulness, Jesus was not going to be deterred. He was going there, even when he knew what he faced when he arrived. Jesus was determined. He would be faithful to the mission God had for him to do, so he goes to Jerusalem. Even while he was hanging on the cross, the people below him were mocking him, and they're saying, if you really are the Son of God, come down from the cross. That's what Satan was saying. Satan was saying, quit. Just quit. Come on down. It's not worth it. The pain is too intense. The people don't care anyway. Just quit. But Jesus continued to hang there until finally he says this, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And into thy hands I commit my spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, that is faithfulness. That is faithfulness unto death. And the faithfulness of Jesus has inspired the faithfulness of others down through the ages. Those who hung in there through the good and the bad, through times of plenty and times of want. Let me give you an example of what came to mind as I was preparing this. And that's our elevator addition. At one point in time, it was decided that we needed to put an elevator into this church. You know the story, but I'm just going to refresh you. So we went forward in faith that this would happen. So we laid out a budget. We put out a whatever you call it back in the narthex there, a barometer showing where we were at. And it came to mind that at the rate that we were receiving money compared to the cost of the addition, that we would probably all be dead or way beyond the elevator before it got built. But we continued in faith, and we prayed for it, and we put out feelers, and we put out requests. And somewhere along the line, God moved somebody to make a suggestion that, let's sell the parsonage. We have two. So we did. We put it up for sale. We were told what we thought we could get with it, which fit our need completely. The reality was that when we sold it, we didn't get near what we thought we would get for it, which left us way short of our goal for the elevator. But through faith, we continued with this process. And to jump forward, at one point in time, we were, I forget the numbers, but thousands of dollars short. But through faith, we hired somebody to build this elevator. We then started a prayer every week, you remember this, to get us where we're going. Money started coming in from people like you wouldn't believe. And because we went forward in faith, we ended up with more money than we needed to build this elevator. And with faith, look at what we have today. We did not alter. The people that were out there saying it would never happen, saying to just quit, don't do it, we can't afford it. But we held steadfast. And through faith, God gave us what we needed. The same thing for our parking lot. Through faith, we ended up with the money to do this before we even started it. We held steadfast. Just as Jesus knew what was ahead of him, he went to Jerusalem anyway. Just as we knew how difficult it was going to be to fund the elevator and to fund our parking lot, we went forward anyway. And lo and behold, God answered our prayers because we were faithful. We were steadfast. There must have been many times that we were tempted to quit or tempted to say, I'm sorry. It's too big a job. I don't want to hang in there. But God called us to be faithful. We hung in there and we were faithful, and we are the recipients of that faithfulness. There was a man named George. He began praying for five of his friends. And he prayed for 5 years before the first one was converted. For the next one, he prayed for 10 years. For the third one, he prayed for 25 years. For the fourth, nearly 50 years. And the last one was converted after 52 years at George's funeral. George was faithful, even unto death. Finally, let's ask the question, how do we develop that faithfulness? In order to answer this, you need to realize that an apple tree doesn't stand out in the middle of an orchard saying, now how do I develop an apple? The apple tree produces apples because that's what apple trees do. And when we are spirit-led Christians, when we are branches attached to the vine, who is Jesus Christ, then we produce fruit because it is the natural thing to do. That's what we do. We don't have to sit around and think about it and analyze it, but we do have to be careful that our branch is never detached from the vine, or that some disease will destroy our faithfulness. So there are certain things that we need to be careful about. We need to realize that temptation will come. Jesus surely was, just as surely as Jesus was tempted to be unfaithful, we will be tempted to be unfaithful in our relationship with the Lord and in our church. And that is what Satan does. He will tempt us to be unfaithful. We need to seek the Holy Spirit's reinforcement and develop regular, positive, and spiritual habits. The world is not a Christian world. We used to think so. The nation is not a Christian nation. We used to think so. And we are being pressured on every side to develop negative habits, tempting us to be unfaithful in church attendance, to be unfaithful in prayer, and unfaithful in studying the Word of God. But if we will say, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and be determined to serve God faithfully, then people will be able to count on us. We will be consistent and trustworthy and reliable. We will develop these habits so they come automatically. And when Satan tempts us, we will not be severely tempted because we have developed the habits of faithfulness, and we will not quit. Finally, we need to get back to when we fall or are not down. Simon Peter is one of my heroes in the scripture. But not because he always did right. Sometimes he made glaring mistakes, even denying the Lord, and he wept bitterly because of what he had done. But every time Peter fell down, he got back up. So when it came time to choose someone to preach the very first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, guess who was chosen? The Holy Spirit said, "Simon Peter, you do it. You had the experience of being down and getting back up again. You made some mistakes. And these people need to know that. They need to hear how vulnerable you have been. But despite all that, God is able to do His work through you." Same is true of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. He experienced all kinds of persecution, all kinds of discouragement, all kinds of temptations. Yet he did not give up. You look back at Paul's life through his ministry. Look at what Paul endured. He was beaten. He was in prison. He was tortured. Everywhere he went, everything he tried to do, somebody was there to knock him down. But he got back up through faithfulness. Then came that glorious day when the Apostle Paul wrote these words to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, it says this: "I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now therein is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me. And on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." I wonder, are you going through a painful experience? Do you feel that you've been knocked down? Or maybe that you've fallen? Have you been fickle and irresponsible? Are you tempted to quit? Don't stop. Keep pressing on. hang in there, because faithfulness is love hanging on. If you're here this morning outside of Jesus, you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior. We want you to know that Jesus did not quit. He went all the way to the cross and gave His life so that you and I might have the promise of everlasting life. He did this through faithfulness. And I'm here this morning to tell you that His salvation is available to you. This morning you can begin your journey with Him. He will never leave you or forsake you. And when you are knocked down and you are trying to get up by yourself, notice that arm that's up reaching out to help, to get you back up on your feet. Reach out. Grab that arm of Jesus Christ and have Him help you get back up to your feet. Do not quit. Keep your faithfulness. Go forward. Seek out the love of Jesus Christ. So if you're here and you have a decision on your heart, I would encourage you to make that decision this morning. Do not delay. Do not quit. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you. Our closing hymn.